So the next speaker is a really nice guy, quite intelligent, well-spoken, affable, friendly, humorous. And it's me, Klaatu. So yeah, my talk is on video editing, and I'm sorry I don't have bigger slides and everything, but the slides are a very small portion of the talk. We're not going to really need to know so much what's on the slides as we are going to know, you know, when I start up Blender and stuff. So the talk is on video editing in Blender, which is sort of an interesting idea because Blender is not necessarily known as a video editing application. But we'll get into the specifics about that in a moment. So if you need to email me, it's Klaatu@HackerPublicRadio. If you need to go to my website, there's a couple of different places. Linux Cranks is a good podcast that I do. The Bad Apples is a good podcast. And then I'm working on a project right now, which I'm dubbing a distro from text, meaning that it's a distribution of Linux without the ISO, meaning that I basically took Linux from scratch and ripped off their idea, where it's just like a book on how to do it. So I'm just writing a series of tutorials, basically, based on Slackware, on how to design your own customized multimedia distro. So that we don't, because customizing your own distro is really kind of ideal. Slackware is a good basis for that, taking Slackware and adding a whole bunch of multimedia applications on top of it for your specific artistic discipline just kind of makes sense when you think about it. So you can check that out at straightedgelinux.com/slackermedia. And that's in its early stages, but it should be an interesting read anyway. So, okay, why would we use Blender for video editing? Well, does everyone know what Blender is? Does anyone not know what Blender is? You don't know what Blender is? Not a video editor? Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Blender is a it's a 3D application. It's an application used primarily for 3D modeling. And if you look up Big Buck Bunny on your Googles, it should bring up like a sample of some of the stuff that Blender can do, which interestingly is a perfect reason why you should use Blender for video editing, because it is it's an application with a very long history behind it. It was developed as a proprietary app some time ago for a 3D modeling effects house, and they had it. They went out of business, and eventually the code for that application ended up in the hands of open source fanatics who have since then developed it into something very, very cool, very, very robust. And it turns out that it's just a really stable code set. I mean, I run Blender harder, really, in many ways than I ever ran something like Final Cut Pro, which is what I was trained on. And I have better results. I have, you know, some fewer, quote-unquote, like, killer video editor features, things that video editors would expect to see. I'm gaining a lot of stability. I'm gaining a lot of power underneath, you know, what I can do with my video, which we'll look at in a little while. So it's stable. It's got a long history, and it's got a proven track record. So if you do look at something like Big Buck Bunny or Elephant's Dream or whatever they're working on now, I forget the name of it. It's being used. You know, it's a software that people are actually using. It's not like some random little project that some people are throwing together, but no one's really using other than, you know, because they're developing it. This is something that people are seriously using, and they're kind of developing it to fit what their needs are as they continue to use it, which really seems kind of a cool development model, because this way you know that you're getting really useful features. As an example, in 2.49b, which just came out maybe a couple of weeks ago now, but you know, there were just things that, like in the video editing portion of it, which is the part that I really care about, for like Final Cut Pro XML importing and stuff like that, for the EDLs, which as a video editor is great news for me, because now I can take all my old edits on Final Cut, export them as what's called an EDL, which is basically just a spreadsheet with all the different cuts that you've made to your video, and import it into Blender. And it even brings in things like you know, the typical effects like crossfades and stuff like that. So that's cool. And then last but not least is competitive edge. Blender has, in my opinion, a huge competitive edge. I mean, there's the whole thing about it being open source, so it's better, right? Well, beyond that, Blender, because of what it is, because of it being such a diverse program and being able to do so much, number one, there's a lot of potential for what developers can do with it. They can take like the video editing portion of it and kind of tie it into, for instance, the node compositing portion of Blender, so that you could have video edits and then you could go up into the compositing nodes and rewire things right there actively, which would bring you basically like a $1,200 application to Final Cut Pro plus a $5,000 or $500, depends on what platform you're running, of like Shake, and kind of combining them all into one application for free. So that's a big, big potential reason for Blender to, I mean, I think Blender in terms of its potential is a lot more competitive or promising even than like Final Cut. And then Blender is also just a code base that people are doing all kinds of wacky things with. I mean, there's literally like a remix of Blender or whatever, a set of scripts for Blender that turns Blender into a desktop publisher like Scribus or Quark or InDesign. So, I mean, just people just use it for whatever. It's kind of like Mozilla, you know, it's just like all this code and people are just kind of like using it for everything that they can think of. So why not use Blender for video editing? Because it's not a video editor. That would be the point that you might want to avoid Blender for. So if you're here thinking you want an alternative to, you know, iMovie or Windows Movie, you know, Maker or whatever, Blender is probably not the answer quite yet. They're not there. Their UI is for 3D modelers and stuff. I mean, to give you an example, their left click, or our left click, is their right click. I mean, it's just nuts. It's crazy. But if you're a video editor, or if you're really kind of interested in a different way of video editing and stuff like that, you can take a look at Blender, which we will. And yeah, so Blender's evolving a lot, so that's a good thing. How do you get Blender? You can get Blender from your repository, your package manager. So if you're running, it's in Slack builds, it's SBOPKG -i Blender. If you're doing Fedora, it's SU-C and then quote yum install Blender. And then in like Debian or Ubuntu, sudo apt-get install Blender should get it for you. So you can do that. If you're really, really interested in what kind of video formats and stuff like that you can do, and what different components in your system you can tie into for Blender, you might want to compile it from source code. It just kind of depends on what you need out of Blender. Both FFmpeg and Blender are the two applications that you might kind of want to think of just compiling yourself, so that you know that you can set your own options and set your own, you know, environment, and make sure that you're getting the most out of each program. And you also might want to do that if you want to run like the latest, probably stable version is what you would want to run. But you could do if you wanted to try, you know, what's in the works for 2.5, you could do that. And it's free, so that's free. Okay, so any questions so far? Am I going too fast, too slow? Jokes? Nothing? Okay. So how do you do multimedia in Linux? It is something that you do pretty much in Linux as you would anywhere else. It's something called a workflow. So a workflow would be like the order of steps that you take in your mind and in real life to get something done, right? So in the professional video and film world, we're talking about, you know, well, you go out and get your footage, but once you're in post-production proper, you're going to import your footage, you're going to edit the footage, and then you're going to output the footage so that you can show it to all your friends, your boss, or whoever you're dealing with, to show them what you've done. Those are the three, I mean, like at the most basic level, that's the three things that you've got to do to get multimedia done in Linux. To make your job easier, you can do a couple of different things. You can just switch to a Mac. Just kidding. No, you can choose your camera wisely. If you haven't already got the camera, you can choose your camera knowing that you're going to edit on Linux and that you need certain kinds of support. So very, very generic kind of formats are good things. Mini DV or some kind of tape-based format is often very good because that's typically very easy to import because they're just not, they're not really locked down. It's a pretty raw format. Anything that shoots in XVID, and there are cameras out there that shoot in XVID, anything that shoots in like H.264 is usually a good bet. Not always. It kind of depends on how they are getting that information to their media. Again, almost anything branded as MPEG-4, usually kind of good. Sometimes MPEG-2 is also okay. You can usually get that with some application like FFmpeg or you know, something like that. Again, it kind of depends on how the manufacturer is doing it. Sometimes they want to really make you use their software, so they kind of like do interesting things to the files, like split them up on the media, and they have some kind of like, I don't know what it is, but like a build script almost, like says, you know, okay, if they come in with my software and they're trying to import this, then marry all these things back together in this order, and it gets really complex then. But yeah, purchasing the camera can usually save you a lot of headaches later on. You want to make sure also, of course, that you've got the right interface. You know, people go out and buy like FireWire only cameras, and then they come home and realize that they don't actually have a FireWire interface, so that kind of thing. And then just in general, as much as possible, you kind of want to know your formats, which granted is a lot to ask of anyone, but you know, if you can kind of just start to kind of listen to things or look at things with an eye for formats and kind of knowing, you know, what is XVID exactly, you know, knowing that that's a free format as opposed to you know, some other format, it's not a bad thing to kind of just get familiar with that stuff. Your Linux multimedia toolbox is actually a lot more vast than a lot of people would have you believe. You hear a lot of people saying that Linux isn't good for multimedia or that it lacks this or lacks that. And usually these are the people who just don't really know a whole lot about multimedia in the first place. So for Linux to have kind of like your little set of tools, there's just a whole bunch of stuff that you can install. And this is the slide that kind of made me think that probably some kind of like distro from text might be a good idea, because as you can see, there's a lot of stuff there. So if you need all that information, well, the slide will be up on the Ohio Linux site, I guess. But also you can go to the site, straightedgelinux.com/slackermedia, and it goes through most of this stuff, and will continue to do so as I develop it more. But, you know, it's Blender is a good video editor, VLC, a good player, MPlayer, a great player, FFmpeg, good for everything. Man pages are always really good. And then there's just every imaginable library that you can install, you know, I mean, if you know you're going to be doing multimedia for on your box, you're going to want to make sure that you're actually installing all the different kind of support applications, because no matter what platform you're on, if you sit down and you're going to do your little multimedia project and then you realize that you don't have a tool to rip this video that someone gave you, you know, their wedding footage that they got on a DVD, they want you to edit it now or re-edit it or something. If you don't have a ripper for that, then that makes your job a lot harder, obviously. So there are things that you can get that will help you just not even flinch when you come up to some kind of problem when you're doing your multimedia project. Okay, so that's the slides. Any questions so far? Good, good. Okay, so when you're doing a video project, make sure that your mouse is plugged in. And after you've solved that problem, you want to probably, at least in my philosophy, well, number one, don't do what I'm doing, which is using KDE. I mean, nothing against KDE or anything, but if you're going to do a serious video project, I'm a purist, and probably what I would really do if this was my multimedia box, I would be booting up into something really, really lightweight. Because if you're doing multimedia, you don't really need, you know, CPU widgets and things like that. What you need is every ounce of power that your box can give you. And what am I doing? I'm doing desktop effects off, because again, I'm just I'm hungry like that for power. So okay, so this is the, that's what you see when you first launch Blender, which, like I say, is a little bit not like iMovie or Windows Movie Maker or whatever. But this is the setup that they have by default, because like I say, a lot of their stuff is for 3D editors or 3D modelers and stuff, and they don't need things like what a video editor is going to need. So what we do have up here in this top bar is the sequence editor. And this is what that looks like, which is a lot more friendly. There's still this scary panel at the bottom, so I usually just pull that down. And now it's looking a little bit more traditional. Now, like I say, getting to know the sort of the interface of Blender is, it's going to take a little while, but if you do some web tutorials or if you get a book on the subject, a couple of lessons and you start to get kind of the feel for it. And to be fair, there are a lot of nice little menus around. Blender has this weird thing where a lot of programs we use, we're kind of used to having the menu bar sort of at the top, right? Blender has all the menu bars down at the bottom, so, you know, I mean, you can change anything, but just kind of getting used to the way they do things sometimes is a little bit different. So this is the area of the software that we would call like a timeline, although they call it a sequence editor. But this is where our video clips are going to go. And then up here in this black area is where the video is going to show up. So to get some video in there, we just go to the Add button, and we go to Movies. And this window turns into a file chooser. We can go to our user account.
Which formats will allow you to import?
That depends. The question was, which formats will it allow you to import? And that kind of depends on where you got this copy of Blender from. Like I say, there are some, like on Blender's site, I think I'm online, yes? On Blender's site, they've got pre-compiled binaries that you can just download, which has a nice little FFmpeg, which again is kind of the, sort of one of the back ends of Blender. Like, oh, that's not Blender. That was a mistake. That's it, blender.org. Blender.org. Yeah, there's the, if you go to download now on blender.org, you can see that they've got lots and lots of different, just like the binaries that you can just download and start running. So you've got it for 32-bit, 64-bit, Mac, Solaris, IRIX, Windows, whatever. Now, this is their version of FFmpeg. I have used these versions before. I don't remember exactly what options they have enabled in their version of FFmpeg. But if you compile your own version of FFmpeg, you get, I'm pretty sure you get more import and export options. So it really just depends on what libraries you have enabled. There is a forum posting from a little while back. I think it was Feisty Fawn. And not that it doesn't matter what you're installing it on necessarily, but it's a good post because it shows you all the different, that's not it, sorry. Well, I don't know where it is exactly, but it's Feisty Fawn installing Blender, and it's got a lot of the dependencies and stuff on it. And that will show you like a lot of the different options that you've got.
Ubuntu, Feisty Fawn, Blender, SVN.
I think I found this one. This is it, right? The same one? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so this is this has all the different packages you're going to need to know. It'll differ a little bit. Like when I was installing it on Fedora, some of these libs were, you know, like the names were a little bit different. Installing it on Slackware, you know, I just didn't need really, everything was already there on a default install of Slackware, other than like scones, whatever. And like FTGL, a font renderer or something like that. So it just kind of depends on what you've got installed on your system and how, you know, what you're going to let be enabled in the install, which is why I compile it on my own, typically. What's that?
What are you using for a conduit to download from the cameras?
Oh, to grab the DV grab is what I use usually, but you could use, so to get like, again, and it kind of depends on your camera, but if you you know, if you've got like a FireWire camera, you can use a DV grab as long as you've got lib 1394 or whatever that is installed. USB, you've got other options. So yeah, it just depends on the camera. I've also had the flip cams or whatever, where it just records to SSD, pop that right in, and just drag the files over. I mean, it just depends on what kind of camera you have and what kind of format it records in.
Do you find that you can edit HD with a reasonably powered system?
Yeah, with something more powerful than this here, yes. I mean, I can do it with this, but not happily. But yeah, you for sure, not really a problem. Okay, so in the interest of keeping this Creative Commons and stuff and legal, here is a student film that I did a long time ago, and it was about math, but they made me shoot footage for it. Okay, so I didn't even tell you how I imported that, so let's do that again. Okay, so adding footage that we have already captured onto the computer. Add movies, and you navigate to your home folder, in this case to my videos folder, let's say. So I've got this MP4 file, and I select that, and it gives me this long video sequence, and I need to place it. To place it, I simply drag it to where I want it to be, and in this case, that's right at the very beginning. And see how I'm, like, the resolution of this is kind of messed up, so getting it to zero is really difficult, right? If I hold the shift key down, it moves by single seconds, or if I'm choosing to view it by frame numbers, it will do that. In this case, I'm going to keep it at seconds. And you can see that there's a picture up here. Scroll wheel lets me minimize or maximize how much of the picture I'm seeing. And let's say that for this project, I just want to cut out all the people footage, because I didn't want to shoot that anyway, but the school made me. So this is just scrubbing through the video. Again, the scroll wheel in this window is making this this portion of the program shrink, right? So now I can scrub through the whole film, zoom in for better precision, and I can also always use the arrow keys to go, you know, second by second. There. Okay, so again, right-clicking, their right-click is like our left-click. So to deselect it, I would right-click out in this sort of gray area, and right-clicking on the video sequence itself would be selecting that video sequence. And K is to cut. So I've just cut my video sequence into two parts. You can see one, two, right there. And I can scrub forward a little bit. Maybe I'll arrow over a little bit. And now K again. Oops, I didn't select the sequence. Select the sequence, K, and now it cuts. A lot of contextual kinds of things in Blender. Not only what I'm doing with my mouse in terms of, you know, what the scroll wheel controls, but also what's actually selected. So I've got this little piece right here, which is the person shot, which is what I want to lose. And so I select it with my right click, and then I hit X to delete it. And it confirms that I really want to delete that, and yes, I do want to delete that, and now it's gone. Now to get rid of this big black space between the two portions of my video, I simply right-click, hit G for grab, and then I move it over to wherever I want it to be. And once again, I can hold the shift key down to get it very, very precise. And now there's no gap. Not that we can really tell that much, but, you know, there's no gap. Middle clicking on this sequence allows me to drag it around, drag my view around. So if I need to see a little bit more above, below, whatever, to the left or the right, I can. And I'll select that again, K for cut, and K for cut. Select it, X to delete, like that. Now, in real life, if I were editing completely raw footage, I would have different clips already, right? I mean, this is a pre-edited movie that I'm now cutting down. It kind of depends on how you import your video. Some people, when they capture their video improperly, they just say, okay, well, I've got this tape of the family vacation, I'm going to import it all. And they dump it into one huge hour-long file, and that's what they have to deal with, which would be like this. We would go through, we would find the shot of little Jimmy, and we would, you know, grab him and put him here, and then we would grab, you know, the dog and put it over there, whatever. That's a perfectly fine way of doing it if that's the way that you want to do it. I guess the more, you know, professional way of doing it or whatever, you would capture the shot of little Jimmy, and you would save that as a separate file. And you'd have, you know, Jimmy underscore close up underscore take one or whatever. I mean, if it's a family vacation, you're not going to have different takes unless you're like one of those dads, you know, do it again, little Jimmy. We need a better shot of that. But you'll have like separate files, and then you can just import them. The quicker way to do it, rather than going to the menu, is just you hit the space bar, brings up an add sequence strip menu. And you can say, yeah, okay, now I want to add another movie file, and the movie file is, you know, one of these other perfectly legal clips that I have on my computer. So that's what you would do. But I have one big long sequence, so this is more of a style of I guess subtractive editing, I guess is what we could call it, taking out what we don't want and then pasting together the stuff that's left over. And I'm sure you get the idea. So you're doing that, you're doing that. Now let's say that we're pretty happy with it so far, but we need a soundtrack, right? So once again, to add a sequence, you simply go to whatever kind of sequence you wish to add. In this case, I'm going to say audio, and I'm going to just play it off the hard drive.
The HD stood for hard drive, not...
Yeah, it's hard drive as opposed to the other one where you can, I mean, I guess some people have problems with kind of the sound playing smoothly and stuff. So far, I've not had that real issue with that. I don't know why not. I'm not doing a whole lot of crazy mixes in Blender like some people do in something like Final Cut, where they have basically an audio mix in their video editor, which is, you know, again, kind of the wrong way of doing things, but it's just kind of how people do it. But yeah, you know, however you want to do it, however you think it's going to work best. Let's see, I've got some music on here.
What's the advantage of this over Cinderella?
The advantage to this over something like Cinelera or even for me, Cadian Live, which, I mean, if I had to choose a more traditional looking application to do this in, I would probably choose Cadian Live, because I think that's a really powerful application. Very difficult to compile, but it is a powerful application. Very, very nice. But in my mind, neither of those seem as stable as Blender, and they both seem to have the appearance of being a professional quality video editor, but none of the real power behind it to me. And I could be being unfair to them, or maybe I just, maybe I'm so locked into my Final Cut Pro and Avid mindset from my training that seeing something that looks almost the same but is very, very different just throws me off. I'm not really sure. Cinelera, I can't use. Cadian Live, like I say, is pretty good, but some of the stability just isn't there for me.
And you're coming from like Avid?
Yeah, Final Cut Pro and Avid are what I was trained in. Let's see.
So like Avid's full of plugins, which make it, the advantages it's the advantages are the special effects plugins.
Well, yes, and so, what's your name?
Dan.
Dan here is saying that Avid is basically, or, you know, largely a collection of plugins, and that's where the added value or the advantage of that comes from. And to a degree, yeah, I guess so, but there's also, there are really, really minute, sort of almost sometimes esoteric differences between something like Avid or Final Cut and Blender. Things like when you're editing something and you're down to your final, almost shipping it to the company cut, and there's just like weird things where you want to like trim something by 6 frames, and there's a lot of places that you want to trim things like by 6 frames, and it usually is, it's 1 or 6 frames is the stage that you're at, and that's what you want to do, and every editor will cite those two quantities as something that they do all the time. Avid and Final Cut have 1 and 6 frame dedicated buttons or keyboard shortcuts where you can select it and say, okay, roll that edit 6 frames. You know, things like that, where it's not the big picture, like what I'm doing here. Like what I'm doing here, I could do this in FFmpeg. I mean, literally, in the command line, I can say, okay, come in at 10 seconds, take 20 seconds, and then go to 30 seconds and take 5 seconds and take that, you know, and piece something together just by basically cutting it, you know, lifting it out of the source and copying it into another file just via FFmpeg in a command line. It's been done. It can be done. It's the other stuff like that. And Cadian Live and Cinelera don't really have those features either, which I guess is one reason that I don't like them all that much. Whereas Blender has, like I say, the stability, and I think the potential, I think it's a lot farther along than either of those two projects in terms of coming out with really cool new features. So, yeah, that's the idea. I mean, if you look at the Blender development forum or whatever, you will see that there are a lot of there are moves being made within the video editor to make it more of a dedicated video editor, which excites me a lot. And I think eventually this is going to be far better than Final Cut, and close to something like a professional, really professional video editor slash compositor like Autodesk's Smoke, which goes for like $75,000. So, and believe me, I don't think Blender is that far away from that. So that's just why I kind of like Blender, I guess. Blender does have a couple of cool, you know, added features or whatever. So if we've got, let's say we've got this number 2 here, right? And we got this little grid thing, plane. And we decide, let's do a dissolve between the two. So I'm going to grab, again, I'm going to right-click on this, hit G for grab. I'm going to move it over. Let's say about, I don't know, that many frames. I think it was 20 or something like that. And I want to do a cross dissolve from the two to that plane. Well, the way to do that would be to select the in, what the avid people would call the source clip to the target clip, and that's with a shift key. So I right click on the source, meaning the one I wish to dissolve from, and then the target, the one I wish to dissolve to. So that's right clicks. And now I can add an effect. Look at all the fancy effects we have, all 10 of them. Don't worry, there are lots more effects, which I forgot to load because I don't use effects that much, but there are really cool ones available somewhere via the blender.org site. I don't remember the exact link, but I mean, Googling for like Blender plugins will get you a good link. And there are a lot in there, and they're really easy to install. I don't remember exactly what it is. It's either, I think it's probably in USR slash share or something like that. I mean, it's doable. It's not, you don't have to do anything fancy. They're easy to install. You drop them in, relaunch Blender, and look at the effect, the plugins, and you've got all kinds of different ones. So it's a healthy environment for the plugins and stuff. So let's see, let's do a cross dissolve perhaps. And then you see that I get this little red clip here. And that of course is a cross dissolve. So.
Can you render that in real time too?
You mean like actually see it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except I don't have my, we'll see what happens. Yeah, I thought so. Wow, cross dissolve, it was amazing. We're making movies now. Yes, you can add effects like these to your home movies. Have little Jimmy fade, the dog come in, it's beautiful. Like I say, I mean, there are neater ones, you know, cooler ones like fancy blowout dissolves and things like that that you can do if you actually bother going to get them. Maybe a glow, I'm not sure about the glow. I don't think the glow would have that much effect on black and white, badly animated footage that was shot on Super 8 and transferred to Mini DV later. But yeah, there are other effects, and that's how you do it, essentially. You select the source, the target, except with the shift key held down. Blender is a two-hand enterprise. One hand holding the microphone doesn't do it justice. But so source, target, and then add whatever you want to add. Oh wait, I thought I knew what you were asking, so I tuned out, and then now I think you're asking something else.
Okay.
Okay.
If you had not thrown the dissolve in there,
yeah,
and you had played that over, we would have seen the highest video clip, correct?
Well.
But does that order matter?
It does matter. And let's look. So if we're playing it, it's the topmost one that plays. Obviously. So yes, you're right, and yes, that's your answer. But that brought to mind something that I should probably highlight. When you're doing and stop me if this is super obvious, but when you're doing a dissolve, you need to have overlapping footage, right? Yeah, I mean, you can't have something dissolve from the very butt end of a clip to something at the very head of a clip or something. You need to have enough footage on either end so that at some point there's 98% of one and 2% of the other, and then 95 and 5, you know, and so on. So people ask that all the time, and so you do need to have that overlap. And yes, from top down, you're seeing what's on top. You're seeing all that. Now there's this file in here that I added, and you can probably not hear it. I can hear it. It's 8-bit music. That's why it sounds like that. And that's how you add sound. So it's just, you know, going into your add menu, adding your audio, and adding your soundtrack. Like I say, a lot of modern video editors, yes.
When you bring the DV video in, does DV grab then create separate files for the video and audio, or?
I capture it that way, yes.
Do you have to resync them after bringing them into Blender?
I do, because that's how we do it in the real world. You don't have to do it that way. You can bring them in as essentially one file, and it will bring in the audio and the video and stuff like that. I don't do it like that.
Split them into separate tracks?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Yeah, totally. It'll look exactly like this. You know, one blue for the video, one green for the audio. Yeah. I tend to separate them, and because in the, you know, real world or whatever, that is how we do it. And the reason for that is because it's a very Unix-like philosophy, where you've got your video editor, which edits, what do you think it edits? Video. Wow. And then you've got your audio editors, which edits. Well, how come only one person figured that out? Come on. Audio. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, you know, you have people editing everything that they've got all in, like, Final Cut or iMovie or something. And yeah, it works, but it doesn't mean it's working well. So, yes.
One other thing to note is when you bring, like, this relative to this question here about the audio and the video, if you have the frame rate set right, judging from my experience, as long as you have the frame rate set right, your audio will be synced as two separate strips, just like it's got there, but it will be synced at the beginning and the end.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's no need. I mean, you say resync, but it's almost like you're not even resyncing. You're importing it, you're setting it both starting at zero, and they're in sync, as long as, like he says, the frame rate is set correctly, stuff like that. Yes?
Now, if you were to import a, say, a DV file that had the audio and video as a single track, do you have to unlock them to separate them like you do other editors? Is that an option here?
It is. You do not have to unlock them. They're imported as if though they were separate tracks, which is a feature and a problem, because sometimes I want to just grab, you know, this clip and its associated audio and move it around. Other times I want one without the other. So one of the features that I actually have not formally requested it of the devs, because it's already been requested, but one of the features is to have a lock unlock or a link unlink button where you say, okay, video and audio are as if though they were one track or not. So, any other questions?
Would it play multiple tracks at a time? If I keep stacking audio, will it play it all at the same time?
Yeah, and that's when you probably start running into your audio playback problems. It will do it. Its capability of mixing isn't really all that great. And again, that's a feature for me. I like it that way, and I actually wouldn't. I don't think I would want that to change necessarily.
Can I increase the audio on like one track and not the other?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't believe so.
So they're exploiting the third.
Yeah, exactly. Which, like I say, I mean that's like what you're supposed to do. You know. I much prefer it that way. So.
So like, I would use like Avid and Cake.
Yeah.
What would you use in lieu of Cake?
If I were editing, oh, here?
Yeah, for audio.
Oh, okay. The audio program that I've really been digging lately is a little project called QTractor, which, I mean, part of the reason is because it kind of integrates with my whole KDE love, but it's just a really nice multi-track editor, I think. Audacity I'm partial to as well because I've used it forever. And, of course, Ardour is great, so if I wanted to do the Ardour thing, I could do that too. So any of those things I could do. Happily. Oh, exporting. Any more questions really quick before I export? Yes.
Comment about the sound that you can vary the sound in each track.
Oh, okay, cool.
You can actually create a curve for it along the line as well, so you can bring the volume down up at any point you want to.
Okay.
And you can do that for each.
Curses on Blender for doing that, but yeah, it's good. It's good. It's all good. Yeah. What do you do that with, like the curve editor? Okay. Cool. Yeah. There's some really nice, like what we would call keyframe editing, keyframing in like Avid or Final Cut, in Blender that you can do all kinds of cool stuff with. So, that's. I mean, again, Blender is so far along on certain things that, like, all they need is a couple of tweaks for the video editor, and it would be, like, a serious, serious contender, I think. And already, I mean, it's, like, what I use, so I guess it's already a contender, but, like, it would be really cool if they just had a couple of video edits, but I think they're doing that. They're working on that component, so. Exporting the video and stuff is a question of opening this big, scary panel back up. Then this is where you do the whole exporting thing, and I'm not going to get too far into the details simply because I could go on forever about it. And if you check out a site called Hacker Public Radio and look under contributors or hosts or something, look up Klaatu. I did a 4-part series on video formats and different formats that you could use and why they're good and what kind of considerations you should have, stuff like that. So the two panels that we're concerned with here are this animation button. Hopefully people can see it. Maybe do this there. You've got this button here. That's going to be our go button. The one thing that we want to have armed is this do sequence button. Without that, you're going to be rendering a completely different part of your project. So you're going to be rendering like a 3D cube against a gray background or something. So do sequence is important. And then you've got the format options here. And like I say, a lot of this is going to kind of depend on what exactly you've got installed on your system and what was enabled. I tend to try to enable as much as possible. There are, you know, animators a lot of times will export things as a series of still images, or video editors who have to send something to an effects house will do that as a series of still images. So there are weird things in here that you're going to see, you know, like PNGs, or a Targa. You know, why would you ever want to export your video to a series of Targa images? And one of the reasons is for that, because you're going to send it to an effects house or something, or you're an animator doing weird things that I don't understand. But otherwise, you might want to use like FFmpeg or some kind of AVI, whatever. I tend to just kind of default to FFmpeg. And then that opens up new tabs here, one for video, one for audio. And you can choose whatever format you have, again, enabled on your system. XVID, H.264. I think there's a bug in 249B about XVID, and there's some kind of workaround. So we'll just do, let's say, H.264. And there's even presets. So if you just don't want to think about it, you can choose one of the presets, you know, whatever it thinks is best for whatever you're doing. So that's kind of nice, but I tend to just do it myself. Audio, you can multiplex it or not. Maybe we do like AAC. If video format. You've got size, frame sizes, things like that you want to kind of take into consideration, or you can again use kind of some presets. So there's a lot of options there is I guess the point. And then to actually do the rendering, you simply say animate and it starts rendering your little movie, which clearly I have not set the size correctly. But that is how you export. And then you're going to, wow, this does not like what I just did. You can see why I do not usually use my MacBook for video editing. But what you can do is you'll find the file itself in your, I forgot to show you where you can set the destination. By default, it's in the /tmp directory, and then you can, you'll find it there. You can set that yourself as well, but it's not going to let me do that right now until Blender is finished whatever it's doing. So I think that's about it, and I'm out of time anyway. So any questions? Yes.
Do you know of any large studios or production companies that are actually using Blender today?
For just in general?
Video editing, animation?
I don't think video editing. Animation, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess I haven't heard of anything, but then I haven't been looking either. So the answer is no, with a strong possible yes. Yeah, definite maybe. So what I've just done, just basically the basics, are available on straightedgelinux.com/video/blender. And it's a very, very basic kind of tutorial on how to do what I just did, with little bubbles and demonstrations and stuff. So check that out if you get home and you're just dying to try this out. This is a friendly way to try that out. And I think that's it. Thanks. Oh, yes, question? Comment. It's offline editing, yeah.
So basically, you input your video to say it's 720p or something. You can set it up that it will automatically generate smaller images for every frame in the video. So instead of being a 1280 by 720 frame, it'll be 4 to the size.
Right.
And once it chugs through that and creates all those frames automatically, then all your editing is done with those images. So now you can take, 720p video from here, and I edit it on my laptop, and it's just smooth as butter. And then when you render it out, you can render the full HDF. So it's very powerful because you can cut that down, do everything that you would normally do. But it's all very smooth and small.
And since it's all through FFmpeg, that I can take, like, some of the larger programs don't like you to take pre-edited or pre.
Right.
Where this, you can take any.
Exactly, yeah. That's another big feature of Blender. You can take, yeah.
Now, what about, not to get too far off and take too much time, but what are you using for, like, front ends of, like, DVDs and that sort of thing?
Handbrake is good.
Handbrake?
To rip, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, ripping would be Handbrake. They even have a GUI version now for Linux. I don't run that part, but you can get the GUI for it.
What about menu generation?
Oh, you know what? Two-man DVD is really, really good, and in French. But, yeah, me too, yeah. No, two-man DVD is good. I don't know, does anyone else use some DVD authoring program for Linux?
QDVD author.
Oh, that's right, yeah, QDVD author. I forgot about that one, yeah. Oh, okay. DVD. DEVEVEDEE. Okay, yeah, that's the one. Never tried that one.
And QDVD obviously is really complex menu structures.
Yeah, yeah. QDVD, that's a really mature project, QDVD author. That's really good. I totally forgot about it. I haven't been doing DVDs in such a long time, but yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Any more comments?
I saw you had a workspace in Blender. Is there any way to save the workspace, like including all that?
Yes, absolutely, you can. I don't think I'm going to be able to show you that right. No? Yes? Yes, you can generate your own a couple of different ways. You know, if I customize it, I mean, this isn't very customized, actually.
Well, I meant more like if you're working on a couple different clips, you've already done some editing, but you don't have a finished product, you want to stop working with something and turn off your computer and go away for a while.
Can you save the project without memory?
Save that timeline?
Sorry, yeah. You just save or save as. It'll drop you down to your file picker. Go to, you know, wherever you want to save it to, and call it whatever you want to call it. It's a .blend file, and you can call it, you know, whatever you want to. Except that I'm not actually in a real directory. Now I am. Okay, hold on. There. Yeah, so you go to the directory that you want to save it into, you name it whatever, .blend, save as. Now it's saved as that project. I can quit, I can relaunch at some point. Go back to open, or even open recent, and there's my cut, you know, where I left off. So you don't have to render, you know, all the time. Any other questions? Okay, I think that's it. Thank you.